Well, ko te mea tuatahi, te mihi kia koutou katoa, kua whakarau ike nei. Ko te mihi hoki tēnei ki tēnei whare. E tūtonu mai, tēnā koe te whare, tēnā koe, tēnā koe, tēnā koe. Yeah, kia ora everybody. So my name is Marmarie Stevens, in case you haven't met me before. It's been my privilege to preach here maybe once or twice in the past. But I've also come here regularly with Tikanga Māori services on every fourth Sunday. So yeah, today is an important date in our church calendar, Te Pauhere Sunday. Although, to be honest, I don't say to my kids or anyone's kids, let's celebrate the Constitution today, because it's awesome. So it's not the biggest seller, but it is important because it encourages us. It encourages us to look at how we run ourselves as a church, right? How power is shared and managed, how the church is structured into these three cultural streams that we know now: tikanga Māori, tikanga Pākehā, tikanga Pasifika, right? And it's one of the reasons that I've been proud to call myself an Anglican. In this country, when I converted 24 years ago, I could at least say that I was in a church that held space for Māori, to be Māori. So yeah, the implementation of that constitution back in 1992 is worth commemorating. It says something about how we want to live as God's people in the world. And at the time, in 1992, it was actually a really grand thing, a huge thing, an imaginative thing. I remember Reverend Canon Dr. John Tamahori, I was interviewing him about an essay that I was writing when I was at law school, and he said to me, over two decades ago, a single line that has stuck with me ever since. He said, "Now we have to be a church in New Zealand. The universe has cracked, and God will be different in these new universes. God will be indigenous in each universe." And I reckon there's a movie in that really short sentence. I can picture a cracking universe, terrifying, awe-inspiring, completely mystifying, and probably lots of CGI. And sometimes big gestures are super important for a moment in time because they change what comes afterwards. So what we can imagine and then live into changes. So the signing of Te Tiriti o Waitangi back in 1840 was a supreme imaginative act that became almost fatally undermined by what actually happened on the ground in the nearly two centuries after 1840. And this week alone, we've been reminded of the imaginative act of 1840 on Thursday, when thousands of people all around the country gathered to protest the moves to remove mention of Te Tiriti o Waitangi from legislation, or some anyway, to disestablish the Māori Health Authority, to repeal smoke-free laws, and the ACT Party's bid to redefine the treaty principles so as to erase the existence of Māori people entirely. So being part of the protests, or as some people called them, strikes, on Thursday was important because sometimes heat and light is absolutely necessary to expose injustice. It enables us to truly imagine eradicating that injustice. But also, such moments serve simply to remind ourselves as Māori that we exist, to enable us to see ourselves in the mirror, to remind us, and I felt this very much, standing outside the railway station on Thursday with my son wrapped in my daughter's Tino Rangatiratanga flag, and she still hasn't forgiven him for stealing it for that purpose. But it served to remind us how, even though most often we are separated by distance, by circumstance, and there's often distance between ourselves and our home marae, let alone each other, but these incidents serve to remind us that we are peoples and we are a people. So to that end, yeah, I agree. We need to be reminded to see ourselves as a three tikanga church. Not because the constitution exists, but because we really are a church that worships God in three quite distinct ways. And this day exists because of the imaginative act that was entered into in 1840. But, confession time, I'm also suspicious of special days. Because Every day is Waitangi Day. Every day is Māori Language Week. Every day is Pōhere Sunday. If we're only just living out those things on the named days or the named weeks, we're doing something wrong. In a very real way, this day calls us to look not just at the big fat moments, but at the ordinary and everyday ways in which we live out our lives. So yeah, we're not here to worship a constitution. Today, like every day and every Sunday, we're called to worship God. And that is exactly what we've been doing today. But in today's gospel reading for Pōhere Sunday, we're reminded of what is required of us every day, the everyday imperative of living out Jesus' commandment to love one another. And I'll just read out in English a short excerpt from what we heard before. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And so Jesus shatters here the normal expectations of relationship, right, between the divine and people. Instead of the master-servant relationship, where only special people with enough knowledge can have access to God, everybody can. A friendship relationship between us and Jesus is not unconditional. We still have to obey his command to love, and he brings us together to share knowledge and to ensure that we share love with each other. Not just hanging out, fellow feeling camaraderie, although that's good too, but the kind of love in which we protect each other's lives, the highest form of which is to lay down our lives for each other, as he did for us. This is radical whanaungatanga, intentional kinship that doesn't rely on blood kinship. It requires us to protect each other's lives. Protecting each other's lives as an act of friendship means we have to all ensure that we all have the ability to live out our lives as God made us to be. We don't have to change culture, we don't have to change language to become something different in the eyes of other people. We can come as we are. But Jesus doesn't require us to hold to culture and language as if they were tickets to the kingdom of heaven. What he wants from this reading, and the whole of the Gospels really, is for us to depend on each other and to love outwards. So yeah, there is a friendship imperative on us all. But in a colonial context, there are layers of complexity. For Māori to be safe enough to depend on Pākehā in an interdependent friendship is some way off. If that relationship is not to fall into master and servant or some other manifestation of power-based connection, as it has been in the past, and arguably still is today. Māori have needed to develop the space to be who we are as Māori Anglicans, and we still need that space. So Heda, Willie, Jessica Lee, and occasionally Etienne, who's sitting in the front row now, have every fourth Sunday of the month for a few years now been coming to the Tikanga Māori service here at St. Mike's in this very room to be together in the most ordinary of ways, to use our language in worship as Māori. And sometimes what we're doing when we come in those doors every fourth Sunday, our little ragtag bunch of worshippers, is doing what Māori have to do in so many different contexts and ways throughout society. Not only does this community here have to make room for us, which is wonderful for our tikanga Māori service, we also have to stake, we ourselves as Māori, have to still stake a claim to that space. We still have to inhabit that place in which we can see each other and just be ordinary. Not just one of a few Māori in our own other congregations. Me and Jessica Lee are probably one of, what, four or five Māori Pacifica at St. Mike's in Kelburn, you know. So usually every week we are kind of just ancillary. Not by design, just how it is. We're not we're the only Māori in the room, I guess. But on Tikanga Māori Sundays, we become then the normal ones, the ordinary folk, who then can invite in. That is all the word Māori means, actually. Ordinary, normal, nothing special. And in that context, as a little worshipping community, we are friends. We're friends in Jesus. We love each other. We eat together. Some of us travel quite far to come to that service every month. We leave behind our other worshipping communities to be here in this church that was not established as a tikanga Māori church or a Māori Anglican church. And yet we worship in a Māori way here. So in many ways what we do on every fourth Sunday reminds me very powerfully of what happens every day at Ngahauewha o Paparārangi, our urban marae here in the heart of Newlands. I've got the T-shirt. Up in Ladbroke Road. Just out of interest, has everybody been to Ngahauewha? Not everybody, but yeah, most of us have. That place offers a wonderful model of friendship-based community, a friendship-based community of practice, and maybe one that we can learn from in our church overall. The emblem on the left there, that is the four winds, right? So that's the emblem of Ngahauewha Paparārangi Marae. And if you could just pop to the next one, please. Thank you. Just in case you can't see the details. So at the top right there are the hāngi pits out the back. Such great hāngi pits. They were built right... For a bit of background, Ngahauewha o Paparārangi was built... Well, it was... The way in which it came to be is the way in which urban marae all around the country have come to be, which is a bunch of Māori living out here in Newlands wanted a place to have tangihanga, wanted a place to be able to send their kids, wanted a place to learn how to do stuff and be together and just exercise friendship, right? These are Māori that weren't from the same marae. A number of them were Te Atiawa, but actually from all over, really. So I've been given different accounts of what date it actually started, but we're talking early 90s. So the early 90s was when that bit of land down on Ladbroke Road, we started to use that as a marae area or a community area. It's actually a community lease. It's a community ground lease now. And next door was the old Horokiwi landfill, right? That had just been closed. I think it was closed in 1994, the old landfill. Quite toxic area. And to this day, we still get rubbish dumped at Ngahauewha Marae. I'm not sure why that is, but we still, every few weeks or so, we'll get a load of rubbish dumped there. Back at the photos, you've got the hāngi pits. They were built right at the beginning, so they're quite old. Joe Gates, Senior, brought his digger, levelled the land, dug the hāngi pits. We've got examples where we have kapa haka. We have had a kapa haka group operating there for years, not there at the moment, but hopefully we will return to that. There's Whaihera in the bottom right, just before we were involved in a tangihanga that was... Oh, you didn't know I was going to show you a photo, eh? It's you! I actually took that last year or the year before because of the layout of the mats for the tangihanga, yeah, to take a record of how we're supposed to lay the mats out properly. So that's why I took that photo. I had your consent at the time. On the bottom left, I can't... people in high vis. So in terms of the modern-day activities of Ngahauewha Marae, we're not just there as a site for Māori communities to come in and have tangihanga, and we do all that as well. But there's also
our shipping containers that are there, including a whole lot of emergency equipment. So we're there as an emergency resilience centre. There's also the 20-year planting program that was established at Ngaha Wewha Marae, 2012, I think. And so things like harakeke, marakai, so growing, learning about traditional garden planting for food, kapahaka, all these activities are all kind of part of, I guess what I would call a radical manaakitanga, because we extend outwards to bring people in. And the only way we can do that is because we're established ourselves in the first place. So this in the middle here is the ad for Neighbours Day that was held this year. So every year, and that's part of the emergency resilience stuff, I think. We have emergency services here. We just ensure that people are kind of know of the existence of the marae. And we sell hāngi there, and I've just locked myself out. Sorry, excuse me. Awesome. Tai wa. So yeah, the things that go on at the marae are very varied, but as I said before, in order for that to happen, Māori had to feel like they had a place, to be able to stake a claim to a place. And even though it was next to a dump, even though it was, and actually, some of you may be aware too that the first house that was set up there, that we were gifted, I think it was an old schoolhouse at Ngaha Wewha, that was burnt down in an act of arson in the early 90s. There was a second arson attack, and then a third one, but we think that was actually an electrical fault, and probably not intentional. And then eventually we had to have people living there to prevent arson attacks, because there was fear about the establishment of an urban marae in Newlands. There was fear about the possible lowering of land values. There was fear about gang involvement. So there was a lot of that. I mean, we weren't here at that stage. We moved here in 2003, and we didn't really know about Ngaha Wewha for a few years after that. But nevertheless, those early years were quite fearful. And so in order to be able to do things like what's up there on the screen, there had to be the establishment of a place where we could feel safe in the first place. Only then could we extend outwards that kind of, what Don Tamihere talks of as that radical manaakitanga, that radical extension outwards. These very early beginnings created community. And it's a community made up then, much as it is today, of Māori from all over, people that met to create something new in that particular space. We claimed the space, we made sure that it could be somewhere we could practice tikanga Māori, so have a marae ātea, be able to conduct pōwhiri, be able to carry out tangihanga. And then we made sure that it could be a place of security. But also, therefore, once it was a secure place, that it could be radically inclusive. So the boundaries now between the marae and the broader community are very porous. And that, I think, we've had to operate like that partly because we're not a mana whenua marae. So like other Ngaha Wewha type marae, we have had to rely on the generosity of the community around us to ensure that we can continue to exist. And so that's very much been the case. There have been some wonderful and fantastic relationships with the Newlands community, and that speaks to the porous nature of those boundaries between the marae and the rest of the community. But I feel like there's something that this would be called what Anne-Marie Ellithorpe would call a community of friendship, a friendship-shaped community. Right. So that's what I think we could call ngahawe whā or papararangi is a friendship-shaped community. And that's got implications, I think, for how we carry out church. And the question for us really is, in the operation of our three tikanga, are we operating as, in our individual churches and across the motu, as friendship-based communities or friendship-shaped communities? Is there something we can take from a place like Ngahawe Whā, where we've had services, where we've done karakia, so there's a God presence at Ngahawe Whā as well, intentionally, and this place. Like, what could we do to enhance that relationship, to enhance the role that we can have also, both in tikanga Māori, but also in tikanga Pākehā and tikanga Pacifica, as friendship-shaped communities? So I just want to leave that as an open question as to what that might look like and how important a place like Ngahawe Whā o Papararangi is in establishing a community of practice based on the notion of friendship. Doesn't rely on kinship, doesn't rely on doctrine, but it does rely on a willingness to sacrifice. So I've put up there, just as a way of finishing off, there is a sacrificial element to ensuring that Ngahawe Whā o Papararangi survives. When you get the call that there's a tangi, ahira, and you have to go down to the marae and be present for the people that come on, when really what you'd rather do is not that, you'd rather do something else, you know, there's a sacrifice of time. And we know what that's like in church life. There's an interdependence. Ngahawe Whā o Papararangi exists because the community wants it to exist. If the community here, after those rocky first few years of the 1990s, didn't want Ngahawe Whā o Papararangi to exist, we couldn't exist. It's an example of what Don Tamihere, as I said before, refers to as radical manaakitanga, that outward love into the community, without expecting necessarily for that love to be returned, but nevertheless it is. And it's also this idea of radical whanaungatanga, so radical connection, friendship. True friendship that doesn't require a kin base. That's not to undervalue in any way the kin-based structures of mana whenua marae, but it is a different way of exercising radical whanaungatanga. And that very much speaks to what I think Christ has told us to do in the gospel reading that we have today. So I'm going to leave it there and leave that question for you fellas to figure out. Well, for all of us, actually, on a day like this and every day, to figure out what does a friendship community or friendship-shaped community look like for us. Kia ora.